It was 1914. War broke out in Europe. Woodrow Wilson was the president of the United States of America. And though in a speech in May 10, 1915, Woodrow Wilson said there's such a thing as a man being too proud to fight, and because the people of the United States of America did not want war, they were emotional about it. They came to settle in a country for freedom. Their own ancestors were fighting. They did not want to have war against their own relatives. Nevertheless, Woodrow Wilson reluctantly called for war on April 2nd, 1917, stating that it was necessary to make the world safe for democracy. Young men from Wisconsin were called to war. We have with us some of these gentlemen who were in World War I from the Sauk Prairie area. We have here Private Elmer Denzer, Corporal Fred Hauser, and Private Ernest Whitfer. We're going to start here talking with you, Elmer. Where were you, Elmer, when World War I was declared?
As much as I can remember, I was on the farm. I came in on the second draft. I entered the Army in September the 3rd, 1918. We went to Baraboo, and we left Baraboo with a train. There were a lot of boys from Pere de Sac. Ed Wenzel was one.
Good.
And
that's good. You remember anybody else?
I should have had them listed.
No, that's all right.
Johnny Held was one, and a lot of.
How did you hear about the news when the war broke out?
Well, a lot of the boys had left before I had to go.
Yes, they left, but I mean, did you hear it in the newspaper, or how did you hear about it?
We had newspapers at that time.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you heard it.
Yes.
Why did you join the military?
I didn't join. I was drafted. I came in on the second draft.
How did they draft people?
By their age. And then you had, I got into class 1A. Some of them that were working on the farms were class B, and they didn't have to go. Like, some of those boys.
It's all right.
Raymond Block was one of them that didn't have to go.
I thought you were on the farm.
I was on the farm.
But why?
I still had to go. Uh-huh.
Because your farm wasn't big enough?
I guess so.
What branch of service were you in?
I landed at the 121st Depot Brigade.
In other words, you suddenly got a letter in the mail and said, Mr. Denzer, you're drafted.
Yeah.
And then what'd you think about that?
Well, I had to go.
Did you like it?
We had to like it.
That's a good way to say it.
For our country's sake.
Very good. Okay, continue. Where were you?
Okay, I was stationed in Camp Grant, and we had 188,000 at Camp Grant. I wasn't there.
Where is Grant? What was
near Rockford.
Illinois.
Near Rockford. And there was 188,000 there, and after a while, the flu broke out, and the hospitals were full, so they put us into the barracks, and they died so fast, they carried them out. I was very sick. They didn't think that I would make it, but I did. But they carried them out. We were not in the hospital. We were just in the barracks. And they came in with a stretcher, and they carried out that one and the next one and the next one. They loaded them on trucks like cordwood.
Oh, boy. That must have been scary.
Then after I got over the flu, I was transferred to the school for bakers and cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And there I helped cook and wash dishes. And We had great big coal stoves, and we used to take the bacon rinds and tie them on our shoes, and we'd skate around on the stove to make.
Oh, I thought that only happened in Paul Bunyan.
To bake pancakes.
Is that really true?
For the 200.
Is that true?
Well, you can believe it or not.
It was true. All right, let's stop with you right here, and let's go on now to. All right, Elmer, I see here you have another World War I veteran with you. Who is that, gentlemen?
That's Corporal Fred Hauser.
Hello, Fred Hauser.
Hello.
Corporal, how are you?
Oh, I'm good right now.
Where were you when the war was declared?
Well, I was at home.
Where was home?
In Denver, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I was working every day.
What were you working at?
Oh, on the farm.
How did you hear the news?
Oh, they wrote a letter to me.
Yes, I mean...
Out in Iowa. I signed up in Iowa.
Oh, you already signed. Were you in Baraboo? And didn't you read it in the newspaper? You suddenly heard there was a war when you got a letter?
Oh, no. I was out in Iowa working. Mm-hmm. And they were right after me. They said, now there's a good soldier.
Because you were a good farmer.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Farmers are good soldiers.
Yeah.
Then I don't need to ask you why you joined the military. You did because...
They told me to.
Mm-hmm. It was part... Okay, what branch of service were you in?
I was in the infantry.
And you want to tell us a little about that?
Well...
Did they give you a good workout?
I got in to be a corporal, and I didn't have to wash dishes or go on guard. I didn't, anyway. I had a good pal that was in the office.
And he didn't make you wash dishes?
He and I were... He wouldn't put me on Sunday job. And that's about all.
So I guess we have to say, no matter where we've been in life, if you've got a good pal, it helps.
You don't know what?
If you have a good pal, it helps.
Oh, yeah, that's it. This was a good pal.
Then where were you really stationed?
In Des Moines, Iowa.
And then that's where you were in the infantry?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you do a lot of marching and exercising?
Well... Quite a bit, yes. A little every day. Mm-hmm. Go out in a drill field, all day sometimes.
All right. That was real interesting, Corporal. Now we're going to... Who's your other friend over here who was also in World War I?
That fella?
Yeah, that fella.
I guess you find out what he is and you can have him.
No.
That fella, he's Ernest Whitwer is. He lives not too far from us.
In Sauk City?
In Sauk City, yeah.
All right, we'll talk to Ernest. Well, Ernest, I understand you were not a native of this area when the war broke out.
No. No, I was up in northern Wisconsin at the time, around Cable, Wisconsin. And later I came down here to Orena, where I enlisted in 1917.
Okay, but you said you came from Europe in the first place. Where was that?
Cable, Wisconsin.
You
but originally came from Switzerland.
Yes, tell us about how you came from Switzerland.
Oh, I came over here when I was 15 years old. I had three brothers over here, and they sent me the money to come over here with. I worked on a farm down in Monroe, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. for a number of years. And about that time, everybody joined the Army, and I thought I might as well go, too, to earn my citizenship.
Oh.
And so I did. I enlisted in Madison in November of 1917.
Mm-hmm.
And from there we went to St. Louis and got our uniforms there, and then down to Camp MacArthur, Texas, Waco, Texas. We trained down there for about 2 months. And then we went east to Camp Merritt, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Stayed there, and from there we went overseas.
Mm-hmm. So then, when I say, how did you hear about the war? Where were you?
I was up in Hayward, Wisconsin at the time. It was all over. Everybody knew, you know.
Through the newspapers?
Through the newspapers, yeah.
Voice?
There wasn't any radio then.
word of voice, I mean, just mainly newspaper. So what branch of service were you in?
It was in the infantry.
And then where were you stationed? Tell us about that.
Camp Gossett, Waco, Texas, was stationed. I was in the 127th Infantry in the 32nd Division. Mm-hmm. And from there we trained down there and we went up east then to Camp New Jersey. From there we went overseas and landed in a place called Liverpool, England. And from there we were sent to another place called Winchester, England.
Okay, we'll go into that a little more. I understand you have a lot of experiences. How did you feel about going to war against people who were really kind of your relatives?
Oh, I wanted to go.
You did? You wanted to go?
I wanted to go because I wanted to earn my citizenship. I figured that way.
Yes.
And I got as far as New Jersey, and a man come over from the Swiss Embassy, and he wants to know how I got in the Army. Were you drafted or did you volunteer? I said, we volunteered. Why? Well, he says, if you were drafted, you can't because you're a Swiss citizen, and that's a neutral country.
Yes, the Swiss have always been a neutral-feeling country. Now, might I ask you, Elmer, how did you feel about going to war against people who were really kind of your relatives? Our ancestors came from Europe.
Against the Germans?
Mm-hmm.
It was my duty to go.
Mm-hmm. That was it. How about you? How did you feel about... How did you feel about going to war against people who were really kind of our relatives?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know them over in France.
Yes.
Because that's where I was.
And you were
born in Germany.
Yes. And but that you were dedicated to your new country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was good to us, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that time, we didn't have stuff to eat, like, as my folks tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they come over here, to, mm-hmm. so they could buy a farm and out there, where you couldn't have only a chunk of land.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's mm-hmm. where they did.
Mm-hmm.
Farmed it, raised cattle.
All right, let's go back to Elmer now. You were stationed in Camp Grant,
Camp
Illinois,
Camp Grant.
And what were your duties?
Well, after I was cooking for a couple of weeks, I got a boil on my arm, and they took me out from cooking. And they put me on transferring cooks. I had to transfer cooks from one kitchen to the other, pick one up and put it there. They never would let them stay too long in one place.
Well, why didn't they let anyone stay too long in one place?
They didn't want them to get too acquainted, I guess. They want a new experience.
Want to be sure they could keep you working hard.
Yeah.
Or something. All right. Is that it then?
I was in headquarters. I was with the captain, and I had a buddy, Charlie Rowe. He was a sergeant, and he was a buddy of mine for a good many years. He used to come up, and he's gone. And I had four other buddies down there, and they're all gone. I'm the only one that's left.
Were these people from the Sauk Prairie area, or the Sauk County?
No, not those four.
No. As I understood it, when they drafted people, they took them all from the same area at one time. Is that true?
Oh, no, they took them from Ironton and Reedsburg, Baraboo, Prairie du Sac, Sauk City, Spring
Basically
Green.
Basically from Sauk County.
Yeah.
And they all went together to the same unit, right?
Then.
All right, let's go to Fred. What were your duties, Fred?
Well, I guess just in the Army, that's all. Learn how.
Said you were in Iowa. And,
yeah.
And what did you do there?
I was drilled.
Mm-hmm. Did you walk, exercise, shoot?
Yes. Go out early in the morning and come back at night, dark. I thought that was a heck of a thing to do.
They really kept you going.
Yeah, you know, I had to, yeah.
That's...
And then they sent me to Fort Snelling, Minnesota. Stayed there about 2 months, I guess. And I ate up everything they had, and they sent me to Chicago.
What do you mean they ate up everything they had?
Well,
You just
had to wash dishes once in a while. And then got to Chicago, and I got in with a friend there, and I always got, if there's any good jobs, I always got them.
Why do you think you got those good jobs?
Well, I guess I was a good guy.
Well, I agree. These guys agree, too.
And, see, I never got a Sunday job, never had to go out and do guard duty at night. And I'd get job of spreading out to get the mail in Chicago, and then hand out the letters
to the boys. That must have been rewarding.
Yeah,
but they were happy, weren't they?
They, some of them guys never got a letter in weeks, you know. Always just standing out, waiting to call their name.
It must have been hard, wasn't it?
Well, it was for me, because I wasn't so bad. I had it easy, because at home I had to work to beat all.
But, I mean, you felt sorry for the guys who didn't get their letters, didn't you?
Yes, felt sorry for them. And I don't know, I always got a chance to, I had a motorcycle that, I didn't drive it, I had a driver, go downtown to get the mail. And yeah, I thought I was kind of the big shot.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Here's a big shot who deserved it. Now, these guys, we're all good, but we don't always get rewarded. It was wonderful you got rewarded for what your goodness.
Well, and we'd get the captain's car. And, of course, we'd put on a cap from, lieutenants and all them wear, and we'd go down the street and be a couple of soldiers out on the street and they'd salute at you. We thought we were the
big shot. It made you feel good, didn't it?
Yeah.
If you like. All right, let's go to Ernest Whitwer. What were your duties in the service, Ernest?
Well, we were out in the drill field most of the time. Going through maneuvers and different things and digging trenches, things like that. And, of course, learn the manual of arms, how to salute.
Now, where were you when you drilled these?
Camp MacArthur, Texas. See? Camp MacArthur, yeah. At that time, we were stationed in Camp MacArthur, Texas, in Waco, Texas. And we were down there about a month and a half, I guess, when we were sent east. And we were supposed to get warm clothes on the way up from Texas up to New Jersey, because we were going to go overseas in the wintertime, but we never got them. And when we got to New Jersey, the fella died almost like flies there with the flu, because we had the summer clothes on, you know, and a lot of snow there at the time. That's funny.
A lot of snow in New Jersey, didn't you?
We sure did. The train stopped out in the country quite a ways, and we had to walk about a mile and a half into camp, and the little fellas couldn't make it first. So they put the big fellas, or 6 footers or more, up ahead. They tramped the snow down, and then those little fellas came in behind.
Then you really had to cooperate, didn't you?
Yeah.
An interesting story about your fainting. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, we had quite a trip coming up from Waco, Texas, up east. And the coaches were terribly hot. And every now and again, every so many miles, 100 miles maybe, they let us out to exercise around the depots, because we had to limber up our limbs up. We just sat there all day long, crowded, like sardines in a box, you know.
And did you have any good food on the train?
No, we didn't have anything. Not in the train. They couldn't, no place there to cook. They let us out along the depots now and again. They had Salvation Army and people like that come over and had sandwiches and things like that. Yeah. Is this your own? Yeah. Anyhow, we get up there then finally, and like I said before, there the snow was several deep in New Jersey. I never thought there was that much snow in New Jersey, but there was. And then from there, we got into a place called Camp Merritt, New Jersey. We stayed there for some time. We couldn't do much drilling because there was too much snow at the time. We stayed mostly in the barracks. They were big two-story barracks at the time. And about 2 weeks later, we were called down to Hoboken to the docks loaded on boats. And it wasn't on the boat only about an hour when we were called off that somebody in our outfit had measles or scarlet fever or something. So we were called back home to Camp Mary and got quarantined there for 3 weeks and went over on a different boat. That's why we landed in Liverpool that time, the first time we were supposed to go to France, in the other boat.
How did you know that you were selected to go overseas?
Well, after all, that's what we were in the army for, to go overseas, you know. They called it the American Expeditionary Force. And where we were going, we didn't know. But we had orders to pack up. It was in at night, around about 11 o'clock. And before it was morning, we were already on the boat. And would have stayed there if somebody hadn't had the measles or scarlet fever. And we were ordered off and got quarantined. And then later we went on a different boat. We landed in Liverpool, England.
Can I ask you, do you remember any of the life on the boat, the food, or the rocking of the waves? Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was very rough on the boat. And there was quite a few people, quite a few boys dead there already, laying on the floor. Because it's so crowded, there's probably about 10,000 people on that boat. And we'd be called down twice a day, we'd get fed. We'd go down and we had our own canteen. And you hold a canteen out and somebody puts you a bunch of beans, whatever we had in that canteen, and some water in the other, a coffee in the other, and no place to sit down, no place to eat.
Just and walk around?
There was no place to walk, but just go in line. The stairs were awful narrow, just real narrow, about 3 foot wide.
What did they do with the dead soldiers?
Well, yeah, some of them were buried. I saw some of them buried at sea, but they were mostly sailors, because the soldiers usually don't bury at sea that I heard of. But sailors, I saw several of them getting buried at sea. They put them in the black bag with a weight on it and sink them over. And usually a chaplain and say a prayer before they go down.
Well, I'm sure you said a prayer too.
Yeah.
Well, you finally got to Liverpool. And then what happened?
Went to a place called Winchester, England. I don't know what part of the country that was in. We stayed there and we buried some more dead there and we guarded some prisoners or some, you know, that unruly. Our own prisoners. And then we helped build barracks, build tents. There was nothing there. They wasn't ready for any of those soldiers. They had to get all ready for them and build tents. It rained an awful lot that time. In fact, it rained so much that I even had rheumatism myself because the tents we lived in didn't have any floors in and the ground was wet quite a bit. And then we stayed there about 3-4 weeks and from there we went to another place called Warrington, England. From there we were attached to a British force.
How did you like working with the British military?
Well, we weren't there for very long, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. They were a lot more strict with us than the Americans were. Whatever they said, they meant too, because you went to the guardhouse if you didn't. And there were big
what
walls.
What did you do in the guardhouse?
Well, I know it never ain't.
Can you tell us about some of your other experiences in England?
Well, we done all kinds of work in England there. We buried a lot of men that died there with the flu. And we done other works. We worked in kitchens. We helped some of the fellas that came in off the boats. It was about 4 miles from where the boats come in up to Nadias, Liverpool. We had to go down there and guide them up here because they didn't know which way to go. And I was usually selected to go down one of them. There were a lot of them.
Why do you think you were selected?
Well, we didn't have much choice. He was just asked to go. And whatever he was asked to do, he had to do. So then we stayed there quite a while, and one day there's a fellow and I was shaving out in pretty close to a sidewalk. British people come over lots of times to look at the boys in the camp. There were Australians there, there were New Zealanders, and Canadians and Americans. And some of the girls come down and looked over the fence. One day, two girls come by there. One boy was shaving me and I was shaving him back of the tent. He said, I see, that's what you boys are doing over here, shaving. Yeah, we're doing. How do you like England? Well, it's like a pretty good lot of pretty girls. Well, one of them said, I suppose you sell that to all of them. So they came over and talked with us and asked me what part of the United States we came from. we told them we came from a place called Wisconsin. They said, any cowboys there? No, not the says that Wisconsin. That's there out west, years ago. So we got talking with them anyhow, and before they left, I said, would there be a possible chance to see you tonight? We have the pass tonight. Well, they said, didn't see no reason why not. So we got to see him, and sure enough, from then on, we stayed together. And then I stayed there then and went home. Well, now home, I didn't have the home. And I had to make a home first and was in the United States. And I went back and asked my girl, was going to be my future wife, would she come to the United States? Would they consider it someday? Well, she said, I don't see it right now. Do you have to ask my dad and mother? So I did. Well, her dad said, I think as much as we hate to see her go, that's just as soon she to have his family over there, because it's a better chance to raise a family. So I went home then, and about a year later I went back, stayed there for 2 years, and married her. Our oldest son was born then. I stayed there another few months. There was no future for me there, so I went home alone and got a place over here and I made cheese. But a year later I sent for her. She come over with a little boy alone.
Romantic story, kind of a difficult romantic story.
64 years.
Back to Elmer now and talk a little bit. Tell us a little bit how your personal life was, your housing, your food. Of course, you were a good cook.
While I transferred the cooks, I would go from one kitchen to the other and I'd get the best food there was. And I got to weigh 185 pounds. No matter where I'd go, they'd give me something.
Mm-hmm. In your housing, you lived in barracks?
The housing, we lived in the barracks.
And how are they heated? Was it warm?
Oh, yes. Our housing was good and our eats were good. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the boys did a lot of gambling, and I never joined them because I couldn't afford it. You know, our wages weren't too good then.
Well, what you're...
Was it $24 a month?
Well, you're very wise. Some people gamble if they can afford it or not.
Right.
Okay, Fred, how about your housing? The housing situation. Did you have barracks?
Yeah, barracks. Well, I had...
Did you have good food? You didn't have Elmer for a cook, but did you have good food?
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't, I'd go in the kitchen and tell them and they'd give me some to eat. But... Didn't have to. I got enough to eat. I got fat.
Did you eat in the barracks? Or did you eat in the dining room?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah.
And how about your housing and so forth, Ernest?
What?
You have pretty good housing, living and food and so forth.
Well, I could start from the beginning there, too.
Well, that's all right. Just tell about it.
Oh, the food is always good. But when we got attached to the British, there was mostly fish and mutton. But, you wouldn't starve on that as far as that goes. Nobody liked it. No, we lived in barracks, we lived in tents.
You just recalled some stories on more of a serious note. Do you want to tell us about those?
Well, I had one out of quite a few. Experiences. I was guarding some prisoners there in Nadias, Liverpool, picking up tits of cigarette butts and banana peels and things off the company ground. And there was one fellow amongst them there that was fully dressed. He was supposed to have a prison garb on, like a circle in the back of his garb with a big P on it. But they didn't bother doing that. They just let him out. He was brought in the night before, called AOL. And I took him out. He said, let's go and get some chocolate bars in the canteen. Well, we said, nobody has any money. Well, he said, I got plenty of money. Let me go in and get it. And I was foolish enough to let him go in. He never came out. So when I got back to the king, sergeant says, where's the third man? I says, he got away on me. Well, he says, you take his place in prison. And I went in for a while. They took 2/3 of my pay off for 3 months. And that was about it.
All right, and you mentioned something about shipping dead people home. That was very sad, too.
Yeah, we There was an awful lot of men died, mostly big men, big-chested men with that flu. The men in the, we'd go out and on the burial detail, and the British usually dug the graves out in the country, in that little church.
Had experiences in taking care of the dead boys.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the men that died near the camp were taken out to the country cemetery there, and the British men would dig the graves and put them in rough boxes and put them down. And I stayed then another 7-8 months, and we had the, I don't know what you called it, it wasn't a pleasure to dig them up. And they transferred them and put them in the metal boxes and sent them home.
Away from that sad note, let's go back to Elmer and talk. Where were you, Elmer, when you heard the news of the close of the war?
I was in the 161st Depot Brigade, and the first time was a false one, a couple days, I don't remember just how many days before that. And the next time, the war is over, and they had the bands playing and everything, and I thought, now we can go home, it won't be long, we'll be going home. But I got fooled. I had to stay until March.
Oh. And how about you, Fred? Where were you, and how did you hear the news about the close of the war?
Well, I was in Chicago when the war was over, and it wasn't very long before I got shipped to the same year to Illinois and got sent home and went to work at home, hauling cordwood.
Mister, tell us about how and when you heard the news about the ending of the war.
We had newspaper men come around to the camp, and they wanted us to put on a little show there, and they said, well, now we'll get together in a group. We're going to take some pictures of you, and you holler, you hey, throw your hats up in the air, we take a picture. We put it in the Liverpool Echo, they called it, Liverpool paper. And then we went on home about 6 months later, Jenny. We had to wait for the ship to come in to take us home. There was thousands of men sent home every day, but we had to take our turn. And we wasn't supposed to take any stuff home that belonged to the government, or any stuff that was captured from anyone else, any foreign stuff. The one fellow had a gun that he wanted me to have it. I said, no, I was told that if anybody had any weapons on hand, he could turn back to Germany in the army of occupation. And I didn't want that. So I threw it down the toilet someplace. Oh. I don't remember who picked it up from there. And on the way home, there was quite a few fellows that didn't obey the rules. And they did have stuff stuck in the duffel bag. And the boat pulled out. We were going about one night, they thought they were getting away with it. And the boat went as far as someplace near Ireland, and it stopped. And they got all those fellas that had stuff taken that they wasn't supposed to have. They were sent back to Germany in the army of occupation for one whole year. For punishment. They had to go down the rope ladders down into the boats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'll go back to Germany.
Go back to Germany. Little towboats came and took them back. And
that was quite sad for them.
It was. Some of them just about bald. In fact, they'd bald some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they were getting away with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't blame them. They thought they earned it.
Well, they had all kinds of stuff to smuggle and
illegal
things, you know.
Well, Elmer, you had a story about how you were greeted when you came home.
Yeah. I was greeted. My mother took me home with a truck wagon. It took us 3 hours to go home because the frost was just coming out of the ground. The next morning, my dad took me up in the woods. There was a pile of wood as big as the house, and I had to start splitting wood.
Oh,
and
dear, you wish you were cooking.
I wished I'd have stayed in the army.
And you already said what you did.
Well,
you have any special greeting?
I walked from the depot in Denver, Wisconsin. Walked home. Suitcases and 10 miles, no overshoes or anything. I walked home. I didn't want to call the folks up because they'd have to go long way.
Weren't they glad to see their boy home?
Oh, yeah, well, I don't remember what they said. I got home about 7:05 in the morning. It wasn't long I had me in the working, hauling cordwood and chopping wood.
Keep you in a bit, didn't it?
Yeah. All right, Ernest, your homecoming and return to England was interesting. Tell us about it.
Yeah. As I get off the boat onto a streetcar to take me up to where my sweetheart lives, yeah, there was a man on the streetcar watching me pretty close. I caught him looking at me now and again, looking past the newspaper. And when we got off, he went the same place where I did, where I went. He approached me then and wanted to know why I came back here. You were in the army over here, wasn't you? He said, yes. Why? Well, I just want to know why you came back for. And I came back to get my wife, a young lady that I met over here, and I want to marry and take her back there. So he says, where does she live? And I told him the address that he come up with me, and I showed him where she lived, and he checked it out, and he said, he knocked on the door, and said, the young lady in here? He says, yes. Does she know this man? Yes, and Ernest Whitford, Private Whitford. He come back and marry my daughter.
Actually, you went to the United States after the war, and then you went back to England to get your beautiful lady.
Yes, I did. I had quite a little trouble, too, with the passport. It was made out wrong to start with. And instead of going back to Reno, where I came from, the lady at the passport office told me, at the Madison, told me at the shipping office, she says, I give you a card, take it to Washington, D.C., and tell them that we gave it to you. There were people that Mr. And Senator LaFollette happened to be in the United States Capitol at the time. And he said, what can I do for you, young man? Well, I says, I'm going to go back to Europe. And my passport was made out wrong. It was made out to France and Switzerland. And I want to go to England. Well, he says, you can't go there without fixing it. We'll fix it for you. So he wasn't very long. He had it fixed. And how is Wisconsin up there, he said. Give me a big cigar and slap me on my shoulder. Good luck. And before you go, what do you want to go back there for? I said, I met a young lady here and I want to bring her home. That was it.
Oh, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Elmer, what are you doing now?
I am retired and tired. Most of the time. No, I'm very thankful to be able to be up and around. And my wife has been gone for 8-9 years.
And who was your wife?
And
what's her former
name? My wife, I met her over the telephone when I was in the Army. And we celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. And I have two sons. Lynn is in California. Gordon is up near Portage. He is retired from Oscar Mayer's.
And right now, where are you?
Right now, I'm in Prairie du Sac at Doris Litcher Gasser's house.
Oh, yeah, but you live down
in an apartment. I have lived there for 10 years.
And you have a friend, and you keep yourself busy,
yeah,
don't you?
Keep busy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, you're doing exceedingly well. How about you, Fred?
Well, I tell you, got nothing to say.
Well, you have a wife.
I got a wife.
Mm-hmm. And you have some
pretty tough on me.
Oh,
I'm gonna
quit.
No.
No, she's good to me.
Yeah, okay.
Too good. I always gotta be waited on.
Ernest.
After my passport was amended, then I went back to New York to get on the boat, to go on the boat. And they informed me that the longshoremen were on strike and they wouldn't load the boat. And they'd been that way for about 10 days. So they told us that either wait until the strike was over or go to Canada and go out from there. There was a hitch to it. They had to pay $40 more because it was only first and second class. And the boat went up around Newfoundland the 1st of November. And if you think that was rough, I'd never seen anything like it. had three meals the whole 11 days on the boat. And when I got over there, I couldn't get married for another 30 days because they wanted to find out who I was, you know, so they really didn't know much about me. The authorities didn't. So I had to wait 30 days. Then we got married on the 29th of November, 1919. And I stayed there then for a year and a half till my oldest boy was born there. And I got a job in the hospital, American Hospital. I got a job there, $15 a week. So it wasn't very much. Kind of an orderly job. So I went back home then. I said there was no future for me here. I'd go back and find a job. So I got a cheese factory and I made some cheese. And a year and a half later, I sent for mommy. I had enough money saved up. She brought him over all alone sometime in March of 1922. We made cheese down there, Spring Green and Arena and Blackhawk at different times. And then my health got kind of poor and I had to quit, go out on the farm. And I've been there ever since. I'm retired now.
Where is it from?
Out Lodi.
And now, where are you now?
In Sauk City, yeah. Sauk City. 901 Franklin Street, Sauk City. Yeah.
Live by yourself and you keep yourself busy.
Yeah, keep myself busy. Yeah, cook myself.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a delightfully interesting time being with you people. Elmer, can you tell us just a little bit how you kept your interest going?
Well, after I was discharged in 1920, I think, is when they started the Legion. And in 1922, I joined the Legion, and I've been a continuous member for 65 or 66 years.
Boy.
I haven't had many offices in the Legion. In about 20 years ago, we started the barracks, World War I barracks. And I was the second commander of the barracks. I've been chaplain, I've been adjutant and quartermaster, as the 3rd District Commander, and I've been taking care of the books for quite a while.
That
keeps me kind of busy.
And that is beautiful.
Yes.
I really enjoyed being with you, Elmer. And goodbye, Elmer.
So long.
Goodbye, Fred.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Ernest.
Goodbye. You don't want to hear any more of my name.
Thank you.
Of course we want to hear more, but for now it's time to say goodbye for a while.
And John Philip Sousa and Liberty Bell.